All right. And those who participated can grab some candy from me afterwards. But you may go to Children's Church now. They've got something wonderful planned for you today. And we certainly want you to turn. There you go. It's compulsory. You have to have a piece of candy. But let's turn to the book of Acts. Again, as we're continuing our trek through this this wonderful book, what God is continuing to do, the theme that we've celebrated and that the youth even mentioned today, the triumph of the gospel in the midst of adversity. It began in chapters 3, the healing of a man, and it continues on. It continued with the death of Ananias and Sapphira. But in all those situations, it did not stop the gospel from going forth. God had to judge at times and make sure that his church got started off well. And Luke tells us that as all the things were happening, more and more were added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. So at the same time that there's persecution going on against those that are proclaiming Jesus Christ, we see an intensifying of the persecution, but also the word of God continues to go forth. Despite all the suffering that it invites, the apostles continue to proclaim faithfully the gospel to everyone who will listen. So we are seeing that played out. God's kingdom is advancing. The gospel is unstoppable. If you hear nothing else this morning, please hear this loud and clear. The gospel is unstoppable. It's going to go forth as God had planned. So let's turn together to Acts. And we'll pick up our reading, chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 17, where the title is, "The Apostles Are Persecuted." "Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. 'Go, stand in the temple courts,' he said, 'and tell the people all about this new life.' At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach people. Meanwhile, when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, 'We found the jail securely locked with guards standing at the door, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.' On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, 'Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people.' At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. 'We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name,' he said, 'and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood.' Peter and the other apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. we are also witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, the teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody. About 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all of his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Congregation, this is the word of the Lord. Indeed. There's a song, maybe you caught it at the beginning, Jane played, "Is He Worthy?" I don't know if you know that song, but some of the lyrics go like this. Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? And do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? And do you wish to see it all made new? I love those words, and it's a reminder of daily of the struggle we face as Christians to proclaim the gospel, to represent Jesus wherever we go, at home in our families, to be the best representative we possibly can be to each other, to our spouses, to our children, to our extended family, to our neighbors, to represent Jesus without sullying his reputation. It's a battle, is it not? Boys and girls, you know this at school. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you want to represent him, it's going to be opposed. Even in a Christian school setting, it can be opposed. Let's stop talking about Jesus all the time, somebody might say. Why do you have to pray? I don't know what form that takes, but it's a challenge, is it not? And then... The funny thing is, you can talk about anything. You can be a Bucks fan. You can be a Brewers fan. You can be, you know, that football team that's from this area. You can be a fan of them. You can talk about it. And you can just, everything's going along great. But you mentioned Jesus. How's your relationship with Jesus? Or, man, I just want to tell you what Jesus did today. And all of a sudden it gets awkward, does it not? And suddenly you're like, I don't know, they don't know what to do with it, you know? And sometimes you don't even know where to go with it. How do I proclaim Jesus Christ in a way that's natural? Well, part of that reason is because there is opposition to the gospel. There is a battle that's going on behind the scenes. And it's awkward because it's not natural. It's not natural for sinful human beings to speak about Jesus. The despair that we had mentioned in Lord's Day 5, actually Lord's Day 2 through 5, talks about It's just not natural for any of us. But then we're still challenged. How do we represent? How do we bring a hopeful message to our culture, to our family, to the congregation that we are a part of, to each other? And that's the challenge that we face. So it's going to be a battle. That's the one side of it. The other side is, and I'm going to remind you of this again and again, the gospel is unstoppable. It is going to go forward. The best way I can describe this is in the words of Mordecai in the Old Testament. In the book of Esther, you remember, Mordecai said, you have to go to the king. She said, if I go to the king, I could die. He said, I think you need to go to the king because you were created for such a time as this. And he says, if you don't do it, God's going to bring salvation. See, the gospel is unstoppable. He is going to bring it no matter what. If we oppose it, he's going to bring it anyway. If we go with his plan, he can use us. Maybe you were born for such a time as this. Well, in our lesson today, the apostles were created for such a time as this. They had a little bit of what the youth were learning about at their camp, about being a witness to Jesus Christ. You have a bunch of cute puppies and you want to share that with a friend? Yeah? Well, that does preach well. David, thank you for that. That's a good illustration, you know. If there's something you're excited about, you love to share that with others. Well, we need to be excited about Jesus, like the disciples were excited about Jesus. No matter where they went, they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ because they knew this gospel was unstoppable. Now, the authorities, here's the other side of it. The opposition came when they saw that the disciples were preaching, they said, we told them not to. That was a few weeks back. And now here they are proclaiming Jesus Christ again. So they went and got them and brought them in. We're going to see that the gospel is strong against it is very unstoppable against the threats that they make to them. So they throw them in prison. And we're going to find out that the prison cannot contain the gospel. The passage begins with the word in the NIV, it's then, but it's really literally that conjunction but. And that word but is going to come up again and again, and you're going to see this tension that's going on. There's going to be four of them. First of all, the gospel is unstoppable. Prisons cannot contain the gospel from going forth. All the good that was happening in verses 12 through 16 of this, there were healings, there was miracles taking place through the disciples, and the gospel is going on. But now we have opposition coming up. And the leaders, the Sanhedrin, they brought them in and threw them in prison. Now that's going to take care of the problem. They were tired of these apostles. It wore on them because their hearts were not yielded to Jesus Christ. So they were just like Lord Farquaad, you know him in Shrek movie, you know, stop ruining my perfect world, you little riffraff people. We told you not to stop, and now you're ruining. Our riches are at stake. Our way of life is at stake. The peace of our nation is at stake if you keep bringing the name of Jesus Christ. Throw them in the jail. They were envious. They were bitter. They were filled with hatred for them. James, the brother of Jesus, said, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from God, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and envy are, where they exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Sobering words. Sobering words. So here we have the opposition to the message on the one hand, and then the disciples, they are also filled with a zeal, but it's a different kind of a zeal. It's a zeal for the full life that they were experiencing. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, to have just an abundant life, to have my Spirit so living in you that it fills every part of you and spills over everywhere you go. And when the disciples encountered Jesus Christ, that's all they could do. They could talk about Jesus wherever they went. You will notice that in all of their sermons, they proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ and Him dying, rising, and reigning. And He's alive and well. In contrast to the Pharisees and the high priest Annas and associates, they were had so much selfish ambition and hatred in their heart because they were inspired by Satan. They lock up in prison, there. That ought to take care of them. But no, an angel releases them. You see, but God intervened. But an angel came and said, now, I want you to get out of prison, but as soon as that temple courtyard opens, you go there and start preaching right where you left off the other day. Tell the people the new life that you have. It's good news. You're free. You're free to go back and proclaim the gospel. And you know what? They obeyed. They said, we have to obey God, not men. And that was their mantra. And then meanwhile, you come back. And what's going on? They're starting a new day. The Sanhedrin come in and they're going to carry on with business. They're going to put the apostles to test and to try them and find them guilty. I'm sure they knew already where they wanted to go with this trial. And they thought they were calling the shots. And then in 5 verse 22, there's that word, but comes again. But, there's that conjunction. They found the prison was empty. See, you cannot stop the gospel by locking it up. The gospel will go forth. It cannot be contained. And so 5 verse 24, they were perplexed. Well, what does this mean for us? How could this happen? And then a random person comes along. He happened to be walking by and said, oh, yeah, by the way, the people you arrested, they're back in the temple preaching. And they were angry. Now, can you see a little bit of Psalm 2 in this passage? We addressed it a little bit last week. But Psalm 2 talks about how the kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together, and it's against the Lord and His anointed. It's ultimately against Jesus Christ. And what's God doing? He who sits in heaven laughs. It's like, you cannot oppose me. I don't know what you're thinking, people. He scoffs at them. And then in verse 10, be warned, rulers. O kings, be wise. You cannot oppose God. So, blessed are those who take refuge in Him. Are you taking refuge in Him, or are we opposed to Him? Well, no matter who thinks they are in charge, the Lord laughs. He says, no, come to me. The prison can't contain them, and now we're going to another opposition tactic, and that is threats. And we're going to see that threats cannot silence people of conviction either. There was nothing the leaders could do but go out there, and they got them again. We gave you strict orders not to talk about me. And yet they're uncomfortable. Deep in the psyche of these religious leaders, there was some guilt. They knew what they did was not right. What they did to Jesus was not right. And you see that in that line. I don't know if you caught that. But they said, you are trying to, you know, you're spreading the gospel everywhere. Jerusalem is filled with the message of Jesus because of you. And you're trying to make us guilty of this man's blood. Now, there's a little guilt going on there. If you go back to Matthew 27, verse 5, what did this very same group say to Pilate? They said, His blood be upon us and our children. Now, it's being pushed back at them, not even in a blatant way. They just know inside what they did to Jesus Christ was wrong, but they were determined to follow through with it. You can't make us guilty of his blood. Yes, you are. And then we see again, but. Now, how does God oppose those threats? He gives Peter the words to say. Appropriate words. At this point, Peter could go on the defensive, you know. The cowardly part of me said, like, man, if I came that close and I knew what their intentions were for me, I might try to talk my way out of this little situation. I might give excuses. I might go on the defensive and say, no, you got it all wrong, you know, or please, you know, do something different. But what did Peter do? He was willing to die rather than disobey his Lord. And here was an opportunity that he had. He didn't see this as any different than being in the temple court. And so he proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, listen, we have to obey God. That's what we told you the last time that we were here. We have to obey God. That's a mantra all of us need to have. We must obey God in the little decisions that we make, in the big decisions that we make in life. We must obey God, and it'll go well. And so what did he do? He proclaimed the gospel. I'm not going to go through this blow by blow, but if you look at this passage, you're going to see that he, in a nutshell, he said, God raised Jesus Christ. You killed him, but God raised him from the dead. He exalted him. So in other words, he's ascended into heaven. He's the Lord. And what do you need to do? You need to repent. And if you repent, God will forgive you. Now there's the gospel in a nutshell. Get to know your misery, people. Know how the fact is we are not perfect. There's none of us that are righteous. To know that as quickly as possible. And then what did God do? He raised Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ stood in the place of sinners, and he died. He died, and if you accept him, you will be saved. God will forgive you from your sins. And he says, we are witnesses of what we are proclaiming. We saw Jesus alive. We saw him killed. We saw him raised again. We know that he is alive. The Spirit is living in us. So listen, and you also can receive the good news. So, it's a beautiful offer right there, even to them. They could have, at that point, any one of them could have said, you know what, you're right. And they would have been welcomed with open arms. The Bible says something very interesting in Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. And it will divide the spirit's joint and marrow. In other words, it gets into the deepest part of who we are, and it is our thoughts and actions. And there's only two responses at this point. And so many times, the word of God can be so convicting, and then what's the response? What is the response of these guys? They were cut to part, apart. It just said they were angry. They were furious at what Peter had just proclaimed. They heard the gospel loud and clear, and they were furious. How do you respond? You remember this same word came up in Acts chapter 2. When Peter preached his first message, the crowd was convicted by the message, and they were cut to their heart. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, repent, and God will forgive you. Repent and be baptized. And so here they are. They're having that same conviction, but they are opposing the message. They are resisting the message. We're going to see this later. And I think next week we're going to get to Stephen's trial. And there, the whole crowd heard the gospel again from Stephen. And it said they were cut to the heart. They were also convicted by the message. But what did they do? They gnashed their teeth at them, and they were so enraged that they picked up stones, and they were not going to be stopped from killing them. So the gospel is coming out. And how do we respond? You know, that's really the crux of the issue here. Peter knew this being cut to the heart when he realized that he had denied Jesus Christ. It says he went away and wept bitterly. Judas, you think they're doing the same thing? Judas, who betrayed Jesus Christ, was also convicted. It said he repented and he went away and hanged himself. Oh, the gospel call is out there. How do we respond? I pray that we may respond and turn to Jesus Christ and respond in a positive way. Jesus said, if the world hates you, take care, because it hated me too. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. If you are hated for Jesus' sake, take heart. The gospel will go forth. We're going to come to the third point. You cannot kill the gospel. The disciples were in trouble for the right reasons, but God intervened, and this time God used a surprising source, Gamaliel. They were ready. They were furious. They were going to kill. The verdict was already reached in their mind and heart. We killed Jesus. We're going to kill you too. But Gamaliel, one of their own, God used him. He was no friend of the gospel. He was the teacher of Paul. We're going to see Gamaliel's name come up again and again. Paul was a disciple of Gamaliel. He was the Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a wise man. Everybody, he spoke and everybody listened. He was not a friend of the gospel. But here's what he said, and this is God gave him those words. If what they're doing is of human origin, you know, it will fail. Which is only partially true, because we know that Islam is thriving. We know Jehovah Witnesses continue to go forward. So there are times where human origin gospel messages continue to go forth. So it's only partially true. But his second statement is very true. But if it's of God, you will be fighting against God. You don't want to do that, he advises them. Where did that come from? That came from God. So even the threat of killing, we could all be wiped out for proclaiming the gospel, but it is going to go on powerfully, because people will understand that the choice is very real. Go with Jesus or go against him. And we're going to take our stand with Jesus Christ. The gospel will go forward. And one final attempt. They said, all right, we can't lock it in. We can't threaten it out of you. We can't even try to kill you, but we're going to beat you. We're going to persecute you. And so that's what they do. But notice what happens. The disciples were beaten. That has to be humiliating. Have you ever seen anybody get beat up before, like right in front of your eyes? You know, it's a humiliating thing. You can't be dignified when you're receiving a beating. And if there's a lot of people watching, it's very humiliating. But the disciples were picking themselves up. It's happening as they were being beaten. They were celebrating. Not kind of in a defiant, again, in-your-face kind of a way, like, I'm going to be stronger than you on this one. I'm going to win this one. No. They suddenly realized at that moment that they were experiencing what Jesus Christ experienced. And they were, their hearts were filled with joy. Have you ever had it where you did something that you know was right? It was not popular maybe, but you know it was right. And you were happy in your heart. It may not have even turned out well for you, but you were happy in your heart because you knew that this was of God. He was the one that gave you the joy. So they didn't worry about their rights. They weren't bitter at their oppressors. They just celebrated Jesus Christ. What do we learn today? Time is up, but who will I obey when opposition comes? And it will come. It's happening even now. Take heart. Every time the gospel meets with opposition, God will find a way to advance the gospel. That's good news. That should cause our hearts to be filled with courage as we go out into our life and try to represent Jesus Christ wherever we go. Nobody will be able to overthrow the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe in Jerusalem, in Judea, in to the ends of the earth. In our homes, in our hearts, in our homes, in our communities, and around the world, the gospel will go forth powerfully. We will suffer, but no matter how hard the days are, no matter what it costs us, there is something better lying ahead. From my devotional this week, I read Alistair Begg's word that just rings true. Be sure to see the whole story, the big picture. So if you're persecuted, you have setbacks and sufferings, know that they do not defeat your faith, nor can they destroy the joy that comes from knowing that the end of the hard path, following a crucified king, awaits the victory of seeing his face and living in his eternal kingdom. That is good news. Going back to that song again, does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? He does. And does God intend to dwell again with us? He does. I'll leave you with these words from Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you. Maybe receive this. Hold your hands out. I want you to receive this as a promise of Jesus Christ. Would you hold your hands out like you're about to receive a gift? Blessed are you when others revile you, when they persecute you and utter all sorts of evil against you for the name of Jesus Christ, falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The gospel is unstoppable. Amen. Father, we hear this message and we are reminded how far we fall short of the glory that you intend for us. Make us steady, make us willing, make us able to follow you every moment of our life. Whether life is going well or you take us in a direction that we have not anticipated, help us to see the big picture so that the setbacks and sufferings do not discourage us ultimately or permanently dampen our joy, but may we continue to live life to the full. We know that the best is yet to come. Help us to live into that reality no matter how hard or how good the days of this life are. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What can we do in response to the gospel? Well, take your ordinary, your everyday life, your sleeping life, your eating life, your going.